Welcome back to another episode of The Witch Doctor, a serial fiction podcast brought to you by me, Aquanimous Rex. Just to keep you guys in the loop, the Chapter 1 compilation project is still underway. Voice actors have been located for the various characters, and we're getting our equipment figured out. If you're interested in supporting The Witch Doctor, make sure to subscribe to the podcast, leave reviews on iTunes or other platforms, and most importantly, if you like the story thus far, just tell a friend about it. That's all I've got for you today, introduction-wise. Enjoy the episode, and thank you for listening. The Witch Doctor, Episode 23, Control. There was nothing more in the world that Edmund Plord wanted now than to break the thin fingers of his elderly captor. The administrator and the ascetic brother had been moving through the wilder at an excruciatingly slow pace. The older man was tough as old leather, but his movements were deliberate and hindered by his age. The backpack Plord carried cut into his shoulders, the straps pulled taut by the odds and ends the ascetic brother had ordered him bring along on their quest. Plord dared not remove it. And he wasn't sure that he could remove it, even if he had wanted to. For almost an hour now, they had been walking through the woods, lighting their way with an old kerosene lantern that was kept for emergencies in the town hall. Salvatore refused to let Plord carry the lantern, and instead had the administrator fasten it to his walking stick with a bit of cord. The old man led the way and set the pace, occasionally throwing out strange series of hand signs from behind his back, over his shoulder, simultaneously barking orders for Plord to keep up, which Plord did, though he knew not why. Though his body appeared to be mutinous, automatically complying with the commands growled out by Salvatore, Plord's mind raced freely. He tried to make sense of what was going on, a task which seemed more and more insurmountable the longer things continued. "How the hell is he doing this to me?" was the thought that repeated itself most often during their nighttime trek. It defied all rationale, or at least flew in the face of the day-to-day, of the reassuring normality of this admittedly harsh land. In many ways, Noel and the surrounding area often felt, to the townspeople, cursed or sick. Plord hadn't been around for the initial resettlement effort, and he was never forced to deal with the hordes of muty wolves which had infested the ruins of Old Noel. But the man who would become the town administrator had seen his fair share of oddities and horrific beasts since. Most of the time, the muties were harmless, cancerous and tumor-ridden, defective and weak. They were terrible to look at, but the creatures were usually just as afraid of the townspeople as the townspeople were of them. Plord considered himself a man of intellect, and though he rarely left the confines of the palisade walls that surrounded Inner Noel, he was sure, or felt sure, that most of the tales of bloodthirsty mutants and free-gatherer marauders were just that. Tales. Stories embellished and twisted to scare daredevils and youngins off from wandering too far. But now, a prisoner in his own body, Plord didn't know what to think. He didn't know how to feel. Part of him was sure that this was all a dream, another in a line of nightmares which had been plaguing his sleep over the last weeks. But when Salvatore bent back a branch, making it easier for the stooped ascetic brother to duck under, and then released it, the branch whipped back and lashed Edmund Plord across the face, and he knew this was no dream. Somehow, Salvatore had enthralled him. Was it some sort of fell sorcery, a zombie drug, hypnosis? The administrator didn't know, having only heard of these in fictions or old wives' tales. "Stop!" Salvatore snapped, and Plord's legs locked up and he nearly fell, unbalanced, onto the ground.
"I need to take a leak. You stay put."
Plord did as he was told, and Salvatore stuck the walking stick into the moist forest floor so that it suspended the lantern on its own. The old man wrapped his dark, cloak-like piece of fabric closely around his body and stepped lightly off into the trees. Plord's eyes darted around. They were free to move, even though his neck would not let him turn his head. They fell upon the walking stick, polished and well-worn, the lantern lashed to its top through a hole that may have once held a lanyard. The light was entrancing.
"Is it the stick? Is that what is keeping me here?"
Plord wondered to himself, but dismissed the thought almost immediately. The decrepit old shit hadn't done anything with the staff other than support himself, at least as far as Plord could tell.
"Those hand signs, though. They had a part to play, didn't they?"
The first thing Salvatore had done was to tell Plord that he had never seen the ascetic brother before, and Plord knew he was correct. At the same time, Plord knew that Salvatore had been in town for several months now. Plord knew that the ascetic brother had arrived with a trade caravan, had decided to stay behind. It had been the talk of the town for several weeks, though Salvatore had not said a word to any of them until tonight at town hall, after Isaac had gone missing. There was no official church or other party holdings in Noel, and it had been many years since most of the citizens had seen an official member of the devout in the flesh, let alone a revered ascetic brother. They had tried to greet Salvatore warmly, their motivations lying somewhere between a natural inclination towards rustic hospitality and fear that the devout had sent a spy to lurk among them, looking for heretics. As far as Plord knew, there were no diabolists or witches in town. It wasn't that the administrator disbelieved in such people, but he could not for the life of him imagine that any of the 40 or so permanent residents of Noel would involve themselves in anything so distasteful. Not that perceived innocence had ever done a damn thing to stymie the devout, once they've got their claws in you, Plord knew. Salvatore had ignored all attempts at greeting by the townsfolk, and had learned quickly to make himself scarce. Nobody was even quite sure where the old man slept. Ascetic brothers were known for living grueling, deprived lives. This is what gave them their reputations as being spiritually pure and above crass materialism. So it did not strike any of the townsfolk as peculiar that Salvatore had found some hidey hole to squirrel away in, as many of them had done, albeit in closer proximity to one another.
"I give him a week before we find his half-eaten carcass out by the tree line,"
Chet had expressed to Plord one day, after Salvatore had first arrived. The administrator had nervously laughed it off. Chet had always been a bit morbid. The ascetic brother never did get eaten by some backwoods freak, and soon sunk into the backdrop of Noel's day-to-day activities. Plord reckoned that when you don't talk to anyone, and especially when you're as high and mighty as Brother Shitface over there, that it was easy to slip into inattentive space, those places between people's focus, camouflaged by the visual noise of daily living. Just another speck of perceptual data in a raging sensory storm. Plord knew inattentive space very well. He wasn't stealthy, by any stretch of the imagination, and yet, with a little chaos, a little commotion, he knew how to go unseen all the same. This is why the administrator never quite stopped noticing Salvatore, assimilated though the ascetic brother was. Plord also knew that he had never seen Salvatore until a few hours ago. Recalling the two sets of memories caused his head to ache, until a sudden cry of pain shot out through the forest, from the direction the brother had walked off. Plord's heart raced. He was unsure of what to make of the pained shouts. Reflexively, he attempted to step back and, shocked, found that he could, and he shuffled one of his legs backward. Then the other. He turned his head, though doing so felt impossibly difficult. He wrenched his head to the side to see what had happened to the ascetic brother, only to see Salvatore in the telltale pose of public urination, hunched forward and grumbling.
God damn it, you useless scrap of meat. Piss! Piss already, Christ's sake!
The old man shouted, letting out another short cry, and Plord stepped back a few more feet.
Something sounds seriously wrong with that man, he thought to himself,
and found moving a little bit easier now. So he continued to move away from the urinating man, trying to be silent. Luckily, being silent wasn't a problem when you could only move a few millimeters at a time, Edmund realized.
God damn it! I give up!
Twigs snapped, and there was movement. Plord's eyes widened, and he froze. The ascetic brother walked back into the lantern light, shawl-like fabric wrapped around him like a hooded cloak, stark frown set upon his face. Salvatore grabbed the walking stick and turned to Plord, raising the lantern up to the administrator's face.
What? You think you can judge me? See how your pecker works when you've got a strain of antibiotic-resistant supergonorrhea eating out the inside of your urethra, administrator. Whether or not you've ever even gotten that shriveled-up pea pod you call a dick wet is a goddamn mystery to me.
Salvatore growled at him. Plord did not respond. The ascetic brother turned and started off once more into the forest.
Come on, you dolt. We can't just sit around yarning. We've got holy works to accomplish. Ship shape.
Plord's body complied without hesitation, and it led him deeper into the wilder.
It slipped, he thought as he walked. His control. It slipped. When he was peeing. When he was in pain? Maybe. Christ. Maybe.
The administrator didn't know what to do with this information. Was it only pain that broke the power Salvatore had over him? Or would any distraction do? Not that he would himself be capable of doing a whole lot to distract the old codger with his bodily control on hiatus.
I'll just have to wait until he has to urinate again,
Plord told himself. But then what? He did not know. Would he attack the man? If he did, no one would ever believe his side of the story. Or, well, no one in any position to get him out of legal trouble would. Would Artemis arrest him for something like this? He imagined she would. The sheriff was no fan of the devout, but she wouldn't abide murder. Whether she had any legal authority to arrest him was another matter, being that she did not work for the party. Poor Artemis. He thought about her condition, hoping she was all right, while at the same time coming to terms with the fact that if he did attack Salvatore, she'd be the one he'd have to deal with. Plord thought Artemis liked him well enough, as much as she could be said to like anyone, but not enough to cover something like this up. If Salvatore went missing, another disappearance among many, she'd investigate.
Unless she doesn't wake up,
Plord thought. Feeling instantly guilty. He wasn't even sure that in such a state he could summon the kinetic force required to injure the ascetic brother, let alone kill him. But the administrator knew he would have to take advantage of any opportunity to disable Salvatore. Repercussions would have to be dealt with later.
Besides, nobody saw us go out into the woods. At least, probably they didn't.
But he put it out of his mind, and let his body move him forward, the backpack hanging heavily, his lungs burning now from the steady pace up the hill they now found themselves walking.
The bastard might be slow, but he's fucking ceaseless,
Plord mused in his head, huffing and gasping for air. The old man was moving the same speed as he had been when the forest floor was flat. Not a missed beat.
You really should try getting out more, Plord. You're goddamn—
Stop right there!
Salvatore froze, his stick-bound lantern held up high. Plord's legs, under the unnatural edicts of the ascetic brother, continued to pump, pushing him on.
I said stop, goddammit! I've got a gun! I'll shoot!
Salvatore quickly crouched behind a tree, while thrusting his lantern far above his head, his thin arms clearly straining with the weight. The light didn't change its position, thereby positioned to conceal Salvatore's movements. Plord saw this as he continued to tromp towards the person threatening to shoot him.
Get down, you idiot!
Salvatore hissed, and the administrator fell like a hailstone onto a bush and lay there still. While the old man commanded him, he couldn't really try to defend himself. Plord realized he was a sitting duck.
Identify yourself! Who are you?
The voice called out. Salvatore cleared his throat, still holding the lantern aloft at an awkward angle.
Drop your gun right now, do you hear me?
Plord heard the ascetic brother hold his breath, waiting. But nothing happened.
Fuck you very much, sir. Who are you? I'm not gonna ask again,
the person above shouted, and Edmund Plord finally recognized the voice. His lips would not form the name, but his mind screamed out,
Ralph, you shouldn't be here. Go, run. This man, he's bad. You need to leave.
Ralph, part-time trapper, part-time guard, was positioned somewhere above, with a gun, and unaffected by Salvatore's orders, no less. That did not make for good odds, Plord knew. The boy was a known crack shot, often bringing in strings of the northern many-legged squirrels that populated the wilder. Plord didn't care whether Ralph shot the ascetic brother or not, but very much preferred to remain unharmed himself, and he hoped that the ascetic brother did not consider him expendable.
He needs me for something. Otherwise, he wouldn't have brought me,
Plord thought, face down in the bush. Salvatore seemed taken aback by the situation.
Tell me, quietly, Plord, who is that up there? I assume they're one of your hick tribe.
And the administrator did what he was told.
It's Ralph.
Salvatore groaned in response.
The Scarface kid. Great. Of course. Too young. Probably born here.
Plord didn't understand what the ascetic brother was going on about, but his thoughts were cut short by Ralph, shouting at them from his hiding place.
I swear to God, if you don't tell me who you are, I swear I'm gonna fuck your night up.
Sighing, Brother Salvatore stood up and held the lantern up to his face.
It's me, you dunce. Brother Salvatore, you know, the only one in this town who isn't a fucking redneck blasphemer. You better put your gun away, boy. You don't know what kind of trouble you're already in.
There was a pause, and then Ralph replied,
Who is that with you? In the bush.
Salvatore glanced down at Edmund Plord.
Plord, get up and pretend everything is normal. Tell him who you are. Tell him we're looking for Isaac.
And so the administrator rose, brushing himself off and laughing embarrassedly. A flashlight beam shot out from further up the hill, where Ralph had been standing behind a tree, rifle in hand. The light shone across Plord's face, blinding him and causing him to raise his hands in front of his eyes.
It's me, Ralph. Mr. Plord. We're looking for Isaac.
The flashlight lowered, and Plord's eyes readjusted to the darkness.
For Isaac? Edmund, you shouldn't be out here. Neither of you should be out here. It's dangerous as hell out here. What were you thinking?
As the young man talked, he slung his rifle over his shoulder by its strap and hurriedly made his way down to the two older men.
You guys are lucky one of you haven't broken your necks. I tripped 3 times just trying to get up this damn hill.
Within seconds, the young man was standing beside them, his scarred cheek ghastly in the lantern light. baseball cap over his messy mop of red hair. Salvatore lowered his lantern.
Jesus Christ, you've got one hell of a mug, boy. As far as us breaking our necks goes, nobody asked you. What are you doing out here, young man? Who is guarding the town?
Ralph glanced at Plord, ignoring the ascetic brother, but the administrator could not speak of his own volition and so merely stared at the redhead vacantly. After a second, Ralph turned to Salvatore with a grin.
Chet went out looking for the boy and told me to stay back. I just happened to change my mind. And the town, they don't need any guards tonight, brother. Everyone is locked up tighter than a...
He paused. Ralph had been about to say, tighter than a pastor's asshole, and thought better of it.
Bank,
the young man finished the sentence lamely.
Everyone is freaked out. People are staying over at each other's houses, locking the doors, keeping watch. They're too scared to really give a shit about the potato fields and the junk laying around. It'll be fine for the night. Right, Mr. Plord?
To Edmund Plord's surprise, words began to leave his lips on their own prerogative.
Quite right, Ralph. Quite right.
And then he fell back into silence. Act normal, Salvatore had said. And now the ascetic brother sighed.
Well, I guess you'll just have to come along then. Put those eyes to good use.
Ralph gawked openly at the older man.
Are you kidding me? You guys should go back. Really. The Wilder isn't safe. Not in daytime and not when it's nearly pitch black out. I'm a better tracker than either of you anyway.
The young trapper looked at the two of them oddly now.
Where are the others? You've gotta have people with you, right?
The ascetic brother's face reddened with what Plord imagined must be anger.
Of course we're not the only ones out here, you halfwit. We are just split up in pairs.
Plord looked on helplessly. He had to distract his captor, had to jar him, cause him pain, or something. Ralph was starting to look like the administrator's only hope, but Plord couldn't manage a free word.
You said someone else was in the woods, didn't you? Chet? The guy with the mustache, right?
Ralph nodded in reply, glancing strangely once again at Plord.
But you haven't found him yet?
Salvatore inquired. Ralph shook his head.
I was following what I'm pretty sure was his trail for a while, but I lost it.
Salvatore seemed to light up, a strange cheerfulness at the news.
Well, let's go find him together, shall we?
Before Ralph could respond, Salvatore opened his eyes wide and pointed behind the trapper. The younger man whipped around, pointing his rifle into the darkness, and Salvatore raised his free hand for Plord to see clearly, making the hand signals that Plord had become familiar with.
Re-establishing control? Is there a time limit on what he can do?
Plord found himself wondering, as Ralph turned back towards them.
What? What did you see?
But Salvatore merely shrugged.
Must have been a shadow. It's nothing.
Ralph frowned and raised an eyebrow quizzically, turning to Edmund Plord.
I really think you guys should go back. I'll move faster alone.
The ascetic brother cut Ralph off.
What? Go back? You just told us how dangerous the woods are, and now you're suggesting we go back into them without your protection? We don't even have a proper flashlight.
Salvatore softly shook the lantern in Ralph's face.
And you have a rifle. We're only going back if you take us back. So it'll be faster to just keep going forward. Even if you think we're too stupid and enfeebled to join you on your heroic quest.
Ralph's mouth opened and he began to protest.
Great. It's settled. Let's go.
And with that, the old man started up the hill once more, only stopping for a second to bark back towards the two stationary figures below.
Come on, Plord. Don't get cold feet now.
And so the administrator followed the ascetic brother's ascent, Ralph behind him. Their walk was short and hurried. When they got to the top of the hill, Salvatore leaned against his walking stick and coughed harshly for a few moments, doubling over, hawking and spitting bright green and red sputum onto the forest floor.
You okay, dude?
Ralph asked. And Plord saw pain on the face of the old man, yet felt no waning of the constricting, hypnotic power. and he grew instantly distraught. He couldn't make sense of it. Salvatore wiped his mouth on his cloak-like cloth.
I'm not your dude, you wretch. My health is none of your business.
Edmund Plord's mind raced. What had it been the first time? What had the hand signs been about? Why couldn't he control his own body? The only conclusion he had come to was that it was timed. That Salvatore had to continuously maintain his grip over Plord's actions. This would explain why Salvatore had continued to make the hand signs behind him, in sight of Plord, while they had walked. When the old man had gone to urinate, he must have slipped up on the timing, or assumed Plord wouldn't have noticed.
Oh, I noticed, you bastard.
Plord thought to himself, mentally grinning.
I noticed.
And the next opportunity he got, the administrator vowed he would do everything in his power to stop the old codger and get his body back.
And now it's as simple as pulling a trigger. Consequences be damned.
Plord's eyes were fixed on Ralph's 22 rifle. This has been The Witch Doctor, Episode 23, Control, by Equanimous Rex. Thank you for listening, and stay tuned for future episodes. Music Attribution. The intro is Come Play With Me by Kevin MacLeod at incompetech.com. The outro is Iron Horse, also by Kevin MacLeod at incompetech.com. Both of the songs are licensed under Creative Commons by Attribution 3.0 license.